We gotta go.
Griffin, we're recording pre-goof, so you have something to...
I don't have time for pre-goofs. Look at me. Look at me.
I can't look at you.
We can't look at you.
I'm gonna turn on video so you can look at me, how skinny I am. From all of the sweat that's left my body from the hard work and good running I've been doing.
Have you been running?
I've been running so much. I have lost 14. So...
Wow, so that's something.
14 years. Your face.
You guys have put on. You guys have probably put on 10.
Easy.
Mm. Easy in the past few months. Yeah. I from my jet setting and my sweating. Just losing them. Just dropping them.
Just has to go country to country.
Did you get water poisoning while you were in Mexico?
I did. I got. I actually got it in Germany. Rough water there. Real rough water. I understand why everybody just drinks beer constantly. Who got an IM? Who just got an IM?
More importantly, somebody was too good to goof, and now they're goofing.
More importantly, who's using AOL Instant Messenger?
Old school.
I actually just have the sound effects turned on my ADM because I like it.
Best game of the week.
Justin McElroy and I know the best game of the week.
And my name is Griffin McElroy and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Chris Plan and I know the best game of the week.
Was I supposed to go at the end?
This is now a barbershop trio and you're dead.
I did mine.
This is, of course, as you certainly guessed, the besties, where we pit the top, latest, hottest titles against each other and, see which one reigns supreme. Then we put that game against our current reigning champion, which is Griffin. What is the current reigning champion?
If I know.
All right. Russ Freshtick?
Wait, I know this. I feel like it's a Virtual Boy game.
No. I'll give you Wario a clue. World? It won last week because it had to.
Oh, Transformers.
No, was it?
No,
Yeah, it was.
Was it Transformers? Okay, Transformers. Not gonna be hard to beat. I tell you, guys, you know what? I'm creeping up on a. You guys ever get to a point where you feel like you need to take a break from video games, even if it was just for a week, just to kind of cleanse the palate? When I start playing, I get to a point where I'm playing like. It's usually when I stop finishing games. Like I'm bouncing back and forth between like five different games. And I say, like, hey, I just need to take a week off and just chill out. You guys ever get that?
Yeah, it's hard for me to get enthused. I think it's just I think maybe it's the summer doldrums. I hope that's what it is. I tried that. It's just that the games aren't very good right now. I tried that Kingdom Hearts 3DS game, and I have never been so quickly alienated from a video game before in my life.
I was feeling really cool to games all summer, but then that... some Little Big Planet Vita action showed up on my doorstep that I can't talk about.
Yeah, I can't talk about that either.
I would love to talk about it, but I can't. But what I can talk about is I built this PC that's sitting right next to me, and you guys...
Wait a minute. Hold on. 1 second, Chris Plant.
What?
Correct that statement.
I built this PC, and Russ Freshtick was there, and he bitched about it constantly.
I built that goddamn PC.
He kept going, "Why am I here?" And I was like, and no crap. I took him to go get bagels, and it chilled him out.
Oh God! Here we go, one up. Here we go, one stinking episode.
So racist.
That's no. It is what happened. You got a bagel with what is it? Roast beef
with
and
a schmear,
a little bit of mayo, and you were much happier.
Now the amount of mayo, would you say it was a schmear?
As it happens, the Jews as a people do not care for mayo. I sort of bucked that trend.
Yeah, he doesn't want to kvetch
about it. It's almost as if you can't dictate everything about a person's personality and taste from their religion.
I know, I was surprised too.
Anyway, you guys, before you run away from that, I just want to
wait,
say,
one second, Chris.
PC games, there
Chris.
Are a lot of them.
Sorry,
you
Chris.
You know that? Like, there are
Chris,
a lot.
Stop talking. 1 second.
Go on.
Justin McElroy, turn off your fucking IM. Because if I hear it again, I'm going to strangle you.
Well, I muted it. So
okay, great.
Thank you for calling attention to it.
Continue playing.
All right, let's keep moving on. I'm drinking a salted caramel mocha from Starbucks. It's one of the new fall collection. Really, really enjoying it. The lady suggested, would you like it iced? And I said, I guess I would like it iced. That would be great.
Ugh.
I had it with a bagel.
You don't fall collection with ice?
Which apparently they'll
ice?
Sell. They'll sell to Protestants. Go figure.
I was surprised.
Sorry, what were you saying, Plant?
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about the fall collection at Starbucks because it sneaks up earlier and earlier each calendar year.
You have problems with
September
the PSL?
September 1 is like the switch done flipped.
But it's like pumpkin spice latte. That is a sign of fall. You know, Halloween is approaching. And it happens on September 1st, and you're like, I'm sorry, it's 100 degrees outside. I'm still enjoying summer. I'm going to the beach next weekend. And it's like, no, start thinking about how everything around you is going to die.
It's grim. Yeah, God, seasons are depressing, you guys.
They are, right? Everything dies. Did you ever think about that? Everything dies.
Everyone we know is going to die, you know?
Yeah.
Do you realize?
Do you know how many people die each year from death? Like billions.
All
death
of them.
Alone.
Can we talk about video games?
Russ Freshtick, tell me how you're distracting yourself from death this week.
Oh God.
Well, I haven't been doing much game playing this week, so unfortunately, I don't know how helpful I can be. But I can be helpful. Holy shit! It's me. Texarkana Tumbleweed.
Texarkana Tumbleweed.
Wait a minute.
You're back.
We wrote into the Texarkana Tumbleweed fiction that he died.
I'm back. I am back and bigger than ever, folks.
Hey, Texarkana, it's great to have you here. What have you been playing this week?
Now, Justin, let me ask you a question. Be honest.
Shoot. I'm not literally, but
how do you feel about shapes?
I think that some of my favorite things are made up of an assortment of them. That's how I feel.
Well, there's one particular shape that I care for quite a bit. That shape is the hexagon.
Oh, yeah?
I've always been rather fond of it.
Now, which one is that?
That's the one with the six sides. That's not right five, on. That's not seven, that's six.
Now, right? I don't mean to ask an obvious question, but why would a cowboy have any interest in a hexagon?
Well, when I was growing up, my daddy used to raise bees. He was a beekeeper. And if you don't know, bees use the hexagon to build their hives. And in this case, I found it particularly interesting, especially when they would sting me. I'd be like, good on you, bee, you got me. Nice hive.
Yeah, you gotta give the bee their credit. Sometimes they can get you.
Yep.
Yeah. They're so much smaller than we are. And so you see that and you just think, I've got it on this bee. But then they flip it right on you.
Now, Texarkana, what made you think of hexagons?
Well, it's funny you should say that, Justin. Because there is one game where...
Is there anything funny about it? Go on.
Where my favorite shape, the hexagon, it takes the starring role. I think it's the first time ever. That game is super... Wait for it. Hexagon. Super Hexagon. It's the game for the iPhone, iPad, you name it. All those Apple devices got it.
Now, I thought I played something called Super Hexagon on my browser.
You did? You played a game called Hexagon, not Super Hexagon. If you want to play an inferior Hexagon, you might want to try Hexagon. Super Hexagon, next step up from that.
And why is it super?
That's a valid question, Chris. Couldn't rightly say.
Can you tell me about the game? What are the gameplays?
So now this is going to get a little trippy. You're a triangle, which I don't rightly care for. But you are trying to avoid hexagons as they fly from the sides of the screen. And that's meanwhile, really you got some like trippy techno hippie music playing like you hear in Austin, and you're trying to avoid these hexagons.
We're more into octagonal shapes now, but the music is right in our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Now, Hex, you are known for not actually describing your games very well, so it might be worth mentioning that the hexagonal shapes surround the triangle, closing in on it, getting smaller and smaller.
They do.
And the triangle has to point outside of the ends of the hexagon that are left open.
Right. So, like,
they don't fly at you like asteroids.
Right. So when I was youngin', I was sitting on my daddy's beekeeping farm, and one time this rogue tractor ran over me, sort of hit me in the chest area, and things got a little dark.
That's why you can't describe video games.
And there was a light kind of closing. It was like a tunnel, and the light was closing in from all the sides. And that's right. Sort of what this game is like. It reminds me of that accident on my daddy's beekeeping farm.
Now, to clarify, it reminds you of Escaping Death.
Yes, yeah. Precisely.
Let me just, real quick, have you ever read that Stephen King novel, like 611163, where about the guy who goes back in time to prevent JFK from being assassinated?
Time Cop? You're talking about Time Cop?
Stephen King novel?
Yeah.
Just to let everybody know, if I could travel back in time to influence one world event, it would be to just keep going over and over with that tractor. Just park, just drop the, and maybe attach some sort of thresher to the back of it, some sort of auto harvester.
Now, Tex, I got a question for you. I'm playing this game now, as I have been and will be for the rest of this podcast. It seems really hard.
Yep, it ain't easy.
What's your record?
My record is 54 seconds. That's in U.S. time. That ain't metric.
The best I've done is about 35.
That is terrible.
Posted a high score yet?
I don't have the game.
Griffin, you got a problem with hexagons?
Have you tried it?
Yeah, I've tried it on the browser. I haven't tried it on iOS yet.
I know that
Texarkana isn't doing as well as our friend overseas, Jason Killingsworth.
Oh, don't get me started on Jason Killingsworth.
Texarkana's arch rival, right?
Oh my God, I hate that lily livered.
He's gone for 109 seconds.
What is he British or something?
Now, I have one other question about this game, Tex.
Yep.
Why are you telling us about it rather than say a New York giraffe?
I don't know this. Who is that?
You've never met New York giraffe.
I don't care for people from New York City, as you probably already know.
Do you like, can I, real quick, do you like salsa from New York City?
Sorry?
If somebody offered you salsa from New York City,
what would your general reaction be?
I would probably say something like, New York City!
Okay, Texas. Yeah,
thanks. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much for joining
Please
us.
Please play Super Hexagon and support your local Hexagon and Beekeeper unions.
And it also features our my internet acquaintance, and I know some of you guys know her too, but Jen...
You guys are really close, I can tell.
This is embarrassing. I only know her by her Twitter handle, Jenitar. Jen Frank. There it is. I knew it would come to me. Griffin will edit that to make me
Now it's going to go, my friend, Jen Frank.
Jen Frank. Our dear friend, Jen Frank, is the voice of the
hexagon.
I'm coming at you.
I got six odds.
Yeah.
I'm hexing. So anyway, good stuff. Griffin McElroy.
Yep.
What's on your plate?
I have been rigorously noshing on Guild Wars 2 for the PC computer entertainment system.
Okay.
It is a Mamorpg, and it's FTP, which means it's free to play, save for the cost of the game.
Right.
So you buy the game for, I think, City, and then you don't have to pay for a subscription, unlike some games.
How do they keep weaseling cash out of you?
There is an in-game store, but it's very substantial. I haven't messed with the in-game store at all, because the logic being, you bought the game. Like, the game is yours. They're not gating any content from you.
They're not gating any content? Like, there's nothing that you would buy in addition to what you bought in the game?
No, I mean, there's novelty items. There's
that's it?
Experience.
There's no, like, maps
not
that are, like, locked
boosts.
Out?
Somebody have somebody at the front door?
Sorry, I think my wife is making a smoothie really quick.
Oh,
she's downstairs.
That's fine. No, I if there is, I haven't had to buy it. It's a very complete package, and it's very solo focused. I don't think I've gotten in a group the whole time I played it, because the whole game is built around these dynamic, global encounters. So you're, instead of picking up a quest from the same guy that gives you the quest, and then going and do the quest that people have already done millions of times over, and then returning it and getting whatever loot you want, you'll just stumble upon these things. It's basically like stumble upon the game, the MMO. Okay. And so you'll stumble upon these global dynamic events where you will either help out by doing like a variety of different missions sort of related to the location. So like you'll be at a farm and you can feed the cows, or you can fight off these bandits who are setting the hay bales on fire. You can put out the hay bales, or you can fight off these giant mutant worms that are coming up from the ground. And by doing this, you are helping to complete the quest, which adds some variety to the, you know, just go here and kill 10 wolves. But there's also dynamic events that show up not on any given schedule. That everybody can participate in, like there will be a huge horde of monsters that will attack in an area, and you can fight them off, and then you receive a medal rating, either gold, silver, or bronze, based on how much you participate. So if you show up at the tail end and only kill a few things, you'll get the bronze reward, which will be, you know, some gold and some experience. But if you stick around for the whole thing and are a substantial, you know, supporter of the cause, then you'll get a much larger reward. And that's basically what the whole game is built around. There's a single player campaign that you know, you'll find missions through that, but mostly it's all about finding these global dynamic events. And then there's other cool stuff in the game too. Like there are these vistas that you can find, and you sort of have to navigate the environment, which has never been a huge part of an MMO.
It's not well executed here.
What do you mean?
The locomotion, especially the sections, the vistas that I found that were built around like platforming, were pretty janky.
I didn't have much of a problem with it. To be honest, I'm not just saying that because I'm
bringing
the game. There's
one that I did where I had to climb up like a big beanstalk that had lots of leaves on it, and mm-hmm. I had to like climb up on the branches, and the geometry is just not. And control scheme is not built for platforming.
Yeah.
And that's what it was asking me to do.
But anyway, when you do get to those vistas by figuring out how you're supposed to...
I wanted to ask, those global events, how are you finding out that they're going on?
They show up on your map whenever you get close enough to them. But it's tied into the vistas, because you get to these high up places, and then it gives you sort of like an Assassin's Creed, the perches, the lookouts, yeah, that fill out your map. The vistas do that too. There are also these NPC scouts you can talk to who will give you sort of an overview of the immediate vicinity, but it's rarely the entire zone. You really have to do some exploring to find these areas. And also, whenever it shows up on your map, it shows you like the suggested level, and you can't be too high a level to do the events. It'll scale you down to whatever like the maximum level for that event is.
Oh, that's cool.
And it does it all pretty seamlessly, that's which neat. Is cool, I like because that. You can then partner up with people who are much, much higher level than you are, and not just get, you know, swept under the rug by them.
Cool.
Yeah, it really is a neat system, and it adds just more stuff to do than there usually is in an MMO. It's very immersive in the way that you explore, and you feel like you're charting your own course. You don't feel like you're running the same chain of quests that everybody else has done, you know, hundreds of thousands of times before.
Can you talk about the combat a little bit? Because I was pretty underwhelmed by that aspect of it. I thought it was really spammy. And I'm coming off of a Secret World, which it seems to be actively designed to sort of, like, eschew the MMO standards whenever possible. And Guild Wars 2, especially compared to Guild Wars 1, seems to be running towards MMO convention whenever it can.
I think
that's why I had a hard time sort of getting into it. Besides the fact that the world and everything just seems very sort of been there, done that.
Did the secret world use a lock-on system, or did you have to aim your abilities?
Yeah, it was locked on.
Okay. Because there's a few, that's been like the big, I think, was it Terra that had no lock-on system, and the upcoming, the Neverwinter MMO doesn't have a lock-on system, I don't think. You have to aim and shoot everything. Like, yeah, it is kind of spammy. It does, it's very fast-paced, though. You only have one power that's auto-activate, and it's basically your weapon's basic ability. But basically, each class of weapon, like one-handed sword, two-handed sword, axe, mace, they have five unique abilities that your class uses when using that weapon. So if you are a if you're an engineer and you're using two pistols, you will have five powers that are completely different than the five powers you'd be using if you were using a rifle. And then to complement those, you have five ability slots, which you unlock using ability points you earn when you level up or for completing special challenges on the map, which augment your abilities. So I'm playing an engineer, and I've unlocked like a grenade belt that gives me special grenade abilities and an auto rifle turret that I can drop on the ground to sort of complement and add some strategy to your basic combat abilities. But the idea being that each class can fill many roles based on what they have equipped and sort of being shoehorned into one role for the entirety that they play the game.
Cool.
Yeah, and there's some other action mechanics like dodging in it. You have like a energy meter specifically for dodging, so you can tuck out of the way of attacks if you see them coming. It's very fast paced. I actually like it quite a bit, especially when you're doing like one of these global events where you're taking down this huge boss and you have 40 people all participating in it, and you don't even need to be in a group because everybody's getting rewarded. And just seeing every class sort of use their abilities in tandem, it's neat.
Very cool. So I like it. Guild Wars. The Wars of the Guilds.
Mm-hmm. There's a Polygon Guild in the...
in the forums.
It's in the forums. You can find it there. But I don't... Sanctum of Rawl, I think, is the server we're all on. So if you want to get up on that. What's funny?
Every time I think I want to play a game like that, somebody says Sanctum of Rawl.
Sanctum of Rawl,
and then I'm like immediately.
I
such a turn off.
The story parts are the worst high fantasy claptrap. I can't make heads or tails of it.
I'm not gonna lie to you guys though. Once that Mists of Pandaria comes out, sorry Guild Wars, I'm Ghost. That game has Pokemon in it, dog. Thanks. And thanks, but no thanks. Which MMO are you going to play, Griffin? Oh, I don't know. Probably the Pokemon one.
Are you going to play as a panda?
I'll play as whichever one is the best. If there's a class, a race that has better Pokemon training abilities, I'll play it. I don't care if that race has no other abilities or stats.
I think pandas are world renowned. When
the other faction looks at them, they die instantly. If they get good Pokemon training skills, guess what? I'm that one. So...
You should just play Pokemon.
What's going on in everybody else's life?
I think everybody's just tired. I Labor Day, man. You're supposed to like catch up on your rest, right?
No.
Did anybody do that?
No.
No. No, right?
No, not at all.
No.
Justin and I played a neat board game.
Oh my god.
What'd you play?
This board game. It's called Duel in the Dark. And I don't know how many levels of description. Actually, the funny thing about Duel in the Dark is once you understand what the game is, it is not actually that complicated. But it's a World War II set in World War II, specifically the British bombings of Germany. And one player takes on the role of the Germans, and the other player takes on the role of the British.
I'll be honest, the name Duel in the Dark sort of reminds me of a game you would play at a middle school co-ed party.
Okay. Yeah. And,
yeah, like light as a feather, stiff as a board kind of thing. but no, you're so the game, the big picture is not that hard to understand. There are high-value targets, you know, throughout Germany, Berlin obviously being worth the most points, and the British player sets up a path of a secret bombing run to attack one of those targets or multiple targets, and then has to return back. The path the player sets is unchangeable, and after the player sets that path, the German player lays down defenses where they think the British player might be going.
So it's like Stratego. It's like Stratego.
Yeah, and part of the logic of it comes from the fact that with every knight you play, there's a randomly generated weather system. So your bomber is safer in the clouds, so the German forces can kind of predict where they might be going, because they're probably going to stick to the clouds because they're safer there.
Yeah.
And once the knight starts and the bomber starts going on his path, the German player can follow has a squad of fighters that can sort of harass the British bomber and try to protect its cities. And the game is really like predicting where is in the German player predicting where he thinks the British player is going to go. So in that sense, it's kind of a deduction game. You know, it's like really, really advanced battleship.
The British player has one other plane that it can use to sort of clear a path, like blow up the defenses, and it gets points if the fighters move into the space with it. So you can use that to clear a path, or you can use it to just mess with the other player, make them think that you're going into an area that you're not really going into to try and distract them. But the other player can see that slip, and then, you know, there's a lot of levels to it.
But here's the thing. What Griffin and I have just given you is the simple version of describing this game. There is any number of any factor you can The planes pieces themselves are on on plastic rods that you can slide the planes up and down to adjust their altitude.
Each fighter jet has its own fuel gauge that changes the rate of use changes depending on if you have a tailwind. Like,
yeah, you roll the tailwind at the beginning of the night and see which way. And if you're going with the tailwind, then you use less fuel when you're following when you're flying. And
so basically, you know, like ages 6 to 10, this is
if there's a full moon out, then you get extra points. If it's summer, then you get extra. Like it's bananas.
It's crazy. there's a when the Germans are laying down their defenses, like you get an extra point if they fly into a square with a flat cannon. But if you have if you have a spotlight there, then you get an extra point for your flat cannon. But if they've flown through a thunderstorm to get to you, then they lose 2 points unless they land in the thunderstorm, in which case you gain. It's bananas. Griffin and I played it for like 2 hours, and I still don't think we were using all the rules properly. Like, your planes have to land to refuel and stuff like that. It's bananas. But the board is massive. The board's probably like, what would you say, Ditto? Like
16 feet.
16 feet, basically. It's like two Kareem Abdul-Jabbars standing on top of each other's heads. It's insanity. But I picked it up for like $11 off Tanga, so it was a good deal, and it's a neat game. I think if we were to play it again and weren't so like overwhelmed with, it's one of those where you don't. I think it was probably comparable to learning Last Night on Earth, which is my favorite board game, but there's a lot less internal logic. Like under that game. It has a lot of rules, but it all runs on a pretty understandable logic. This game, you know, there's a lot of factors that I don't really think about just because I'm not an expert of World War II air combat. But it's highly recommended, I guess.
Would it make you an expert? Like, if you played it, do you think you could walk away and be like, I could have been one of the flyboys?
I'd at least learn where the cities are in Germany. Mm-hmm. So that would be good. It must really hit home for you, Ditto. To be,
I gotta take. Brought up some, it stirred up some shit. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah,
it stirred up some real shit.
That Air Berlin flight was pretty bad, wasn't it?
Oh boy, we were harassed by bombers the whole time.
Did you have a tailwind?
Yeah, we were flying it against the wind. It's Bob Seger, maybe. That might be Bob Seger.
Hey, guys, so I actually have a game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you want to hear about it?
Tell me about it. I'm ready.
So I have a new ninja stealth game called Mark of the Ninja, and it is by... Russ, you're going to have to help me with the pronunciation. Do they pronounce it Clay or Klee?
It's pronounced Klai.
I can see it's definitely not that one.
Klay. Claw. Claw. Klee Klong. Katrol.
Katrol. Katrol. They are
that
known...
was such a good gag. I'm really glad.
Yeah.
Back. Coming back.
They made Shank. In Shank 2, they made Eats. And they have, what's the new game that's coming out? Stay Hungry? What is it, Russ?
I don't remember.
I'm just turning to you for everything. The point is, it's a stealth ninja game, but the twist is it is 2D. It is not a 3D stealth game like pretty much every other stealth game that you've played in the last 15 years. You basically start on one end of the map. You make your way towards the end. It's linear in that way. But what you do getting from point A to point B can get pretty crazy. I don't have the enthusiasm to actually say crazy. You use all of your different skills, like hanging upside down like Batman and pulling people up by the hooks that are wrapped around their necks. There's lots of stabbing people in the spine. Light, whether you are being seen in light or not in light, is represented by shadow that is on screen. So everything that's in shadow is black. The characters are outlined with white, thin little lines. And once they're in the light, they go full color and they kind of look like Saturday morning cartoons.
Cool.
And sound, basically everything that could give you away is represented. So sound is represented by these little circles that kind of ripple out from anything that makes noise. So if you're running, it'll send out little circles. If you scare away birds, they'll fly everywhere, sending, sound vibes off across the screen. And once those hit guards or enemies, they are alerted and they start looking for you. It's all the tropes that you know from Metal Gear Solid put on a two-dimensional map, which makes it a lot easier. I feel like I had more control of some of the crazier things I was able to do because I wasn't fiddling with the camera, or I knew exactly where I was in the video game space.
Yeah, I would also say I've played a lot of it, and I think one of the things, it's sort of hard to put your finger on, but one of the things, I love stealth games, but one of the issues that I run into is that there's a lot of guesswork involved with them. Like, even in the Metal Gear games, it's pretty rare that you know like 100% whether you're going to be seen or not. Like, there's sort of this learning curve that you have to hit, where it's like, oh, I'm like 8 feet away from a guy in low lighting, then he won't see me. But in Mark of the Ninja, like 100% of the time, you know whether you're going to be seen, whether you're going to be heard, and you can use all that information to inform the way you progress through the level. So yeah, even before you make...
down with that.
Great example of that is, so there's a room, and you're hiding underneath it in the sewer. And in that room is a guard, a dog, and a light. Dogs get set off very easily, so you can aim at the light through the gate in the bottom of the ground, and while you're aiming at it, it freezes time, and it shows you the radius of impact for that light. So if you bust it, it'll show you about, 10 feet wide that it will kind of set off anything inside of that. So that'll set off the dog. Knocking that out will attract the dog, and the dog's barks, you can see, will set off the guard, and the guard will come over to inspect the light, and in doing so, will walk over the grate, and then you can reach up through the grate, pull him under, and stab him in the neck.
And you basically know, like, you're not reacting to what happened, you know what's going to happen before you do it, because it sort of gives you a preview of, like, how wide a sound radius action would be, so you're, like, very informed as to what's going on.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
I like that. I don't like how much I like the idea behind stealth games, but even in like the best ones, even in Splinter Cell, I still felt like there was no feedback for if I was walking behind a guy, if I was being sneaky enough.
Yeah.
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 Here, it's very digital. You're either, you know, in basically in darkness or not, or, you know, you're seeing exactly how much sound you're making. It's always very clear.
Yeah, I it's also worth mentioning the story because stealth games tend to have the crappiest stories. Because for whatever reason, they all want to be a really bad 1980s espionage film. And this game takes a pretty different path. It reminded me a lot, in a weird way, of Bastion. Russ probably will think I'm crazy.
Yes.
But it's delivered to you by this kind of sidekick character that is catching you up to speed on what your mission is. And there's kind of this... This is not a spoiler. You know that once you complete your mission, you will have to kill yourself. So there's this impending sense of dread because you want to be loyal to this clan that you are a participant
in. How is that not a spoiler?
That's because you learn that at the very... It's the
first basically the first mission.
Before you even play the game. Okay. That you are in a clan, you have a tattoo that gives you unimaginable power, but it also will corrupt your mind. And so once you've used that power to complete a mission, you have to commit seppuku.
By a mission, he means like the entire like quest of the game.
Yeah, so it's... Yeah. But that what's good about the story is that it deals with that, that it's constantly confronting what is right and wrong, why you're doing this mission, what your clan's ambitions are, what loyalty you actually have. And it's all simple enough. It doesn't go Metal Gear on you. That you kind of are able to trace it. And because you do have this narrative happening throughout the game, you don't have to stop and sit through a lot of cutscenes. Like, they get a lot of story in without slowing down the actual pace of the game.
Yeah, there's one other thing I wanted to mention. Again, I'm a big fan of stealth games, but I think one thing that a lot of developers struggle with is how to do, like, big boss fights. One of my favorite stealth games of the last year, Deus Ex, Invisible... What was it called?
Human Revolution. Yeah. I am the Invisible Man.
Right. That's precisely the one. Had some really great stealth stuff, but a lot of people complain that, like, oh, when you're up in a boss fight, you had no option but to basically, you know, blow them up with a rocket launcher. You know, the stealth elements basically got turned off. And Mark of the Ninja never abandons the stealth angle. Like, there's never a moment where you're encouraged to just like annihilate a guy with like a machine gun, and I think that's really pretty difficult to do throughout an entire game while still remaining fun and interesting. So props to them on that.
I will say, I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, we might have to bleep this out, I'll ask Russ, but the hallucinogenic moments of Batman Arkham Asylum have clearly become a tool for other developers to get in that wacky, not wacky, but like get their creative Ghiblis off to like play with art design and do like the really weird, absurd things that differentiate it from the rest of the game. And this is definitely a game that does that. I mean,
I would say that's probably worth editing out, but I would also say that I don't think this game really does what Batman does. Like, not nearly to the extent. Like, there's not fucking skull castles made of syringes.
No.
Like, it's pretty grounded. Even the hallucinogen stuff.
I thought it would have been neat if... And if this sounds like something that they could be heading towards, let me know. But it seems like this mixed, like, interspersed, perhaps, with Shank could be a really cool game.
Okay. Honestly,
like,
these
two guys teamed up with each other for some reason.
You mean the characters?
Yeah, I mean, aesthetically, it's already sort of in the same wheelhouse. Like,
well, I think this, in a weird way, plays... It has this feel that reminds me so much of Shank. They're both... I talked about this in my review that will probably go up today, but they both have very sticky feelings. Like, you aim at what you want in an environment, and you click a button, and you're just there. Like, you kind of latch onto things across the environment, hopping from, like, one thing to next. And though this game is by no means, you know, as crazy as Shank, it has, like, these weird similarities. And the other strange thing that makes it kind of an alternate universe Shank is famous, the character famous. But he's known for his red bandana that is, you know, soaked in blood. And the ninja in the game has a red bandana tattooed across his eyes. So, and the art design is all the same. So, it does feel like there is some weird connection going on between
even though
two.
As a game they're about as different as you can be. The gameplay, I would say, is almost like black and white different.
But that would work if they were
a co-op game. Levels, I would just say it's very difficult.
Because one of the problems I had with Shank is that it all got kind of samey. Yeah. And this would be a nice way to spice that up. I think
I wouldn't mind the occasional mix of that. But what is great about this game compared to Shank, and why I think makes it so much superior, is it has incredible pacing. You're constantly learning. And then once you've kind of been trained, which is, three quarters of the game, you're just let out in these more open-ended levels where you have the option to go back and play, choose levels that you want to play. And I went back and played, the final two stages multiple times just because there's so many bizarre ways to go about, killing everybody or not killing everybody. There's a dart that is worth mentioning, speaking of hallucinations. There's a special weapon that you can unlock that is a hallucinogenic dart that you throw at guards or anything, and it makes them go homicidal, so they start killing everybody. And then the upgrade version of that is they will kill everyone in the room, and then they'll turn the gun on themselves, put it in their mouth, and just blow their brains out.
That sounds scary.
It's really violent. That is.
This is also a true story, by the way. Shank.
It's a really violent game.
When can I play this game?
Today. Now, today. Download it now.
Why is it out on a Friday on Xbox Live?
Why wasn't it part of Summer of Arcade is the real question.
Yeah, well they had to get Deadlight.
It really is, outside of Spelunky, it is easily my favorite thing that has come out for Xbox Live Arcade this year.
I'm really horny to play it now.
You should. Yeah, I'm rocking like three-quarter chub.
Yep. Yep, Semirod right here.
Thick chub.
Ready to play it.
Thick chub.
Ready to play. So I'm going to pick a game that sounds the best. And to me, that game sounds like super cool. And I think it's the best game of the week.
Yay.
Unless anybody can make a case against that.
No, it's fine.
Russ, your game is just Shapes. Griffin, I played your game. It's boring. Mark the Ninja wins.
Yay.
As the winner, I'd like my victory speech to be that you should download Super Hexagon 2.
It's great.
It's Terry Cavanaugh, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Incredible
design. The guy can't draw, but man, can he design a game.
So definitely download that. But yeah, Mark of the Ninja is moi. It's delicious.
Delicious.
Well, read my review, hopefully, that is online today, I think.
Now, is this a better game than Transformers War for Cybertron?
How hard was it to say that with a straight face?
I'm asking.
Yes.
Okay, that's one vote for yes, Chris.
Yeah.
Okay, Griffin?
No.
Okay, and I say no. So what's
what?
Up? I haven't played this ninja.
Just because you've played Transformers is enough for you to say no?
Yeah.
I played Transformers, and that's like super cool, and you can What is the ninja transform into?
Oh, you can transform into a box.
You can.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they did include a box. There is a great Metal Gear Solid box that you can tool around in.
Okay. Griffin, does that change your opinion if you can transform into a box?
Can the box like do cool shit, like drive around and fucking hang out with Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah. That's the DLC,
yes.
Though.
It changes my answer.
Oh, okay. That you have the power late in the game of...
No, shut up. This is spoilers, okay. Bryant.
Okay, yep. All right.
No, sold. Stop fine. It.
Our current reigning champion is Mark of the Ninja.
Spoilers.
Russ, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I wanted to say that was bullshit spoilers, and you can't put that in the podcast.
Yeah, we bleeped it out.
Every game has... who gives a shit?
Yeah, why don't you enjoy...
You plant.
Oh, I'm gonna bleep that out, so it's gonna be fun for people to try and like figure out.
Okay, that's good.
Okay,
try and figure out.
Thank you so much for enjoying our program,
or just hearing it,
taking it in,
just like being accurately. In the same room where it is happening.
We sure appreciate you stopping by again. If you want to read the stuff that we write, it's at theverge.com. /gaming. We're in the middle of this new documentary web series about the production of our site Polygon. It's called Press Reset, and you can find all the episodes there. It's pretty neat. You can also find them at youtube.com/polygon. We are on Twitter at Polygon and Facebook/Polygon. So follow, like, subscribe, etc. And more than anything, make sure you go to iTunes and subscribe to the Besties and tell your friends to do the same. Give us a review while you're there. And make sure you join us again next Friday for the Besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?